TheYeshiva.net.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Zev Brenner. People for years have been talking to me, and we've had quite a few programs about Naturi Carter. They're an anti-Israel Zionist group that shows up at every rally. They support the Palestinian. They support Hamas. They've gone to Iran. They were recently in Iran, too. They were there at a Holocaust denying conference, one on Gaza. Every enemy of Israel they're with. So the question is, are they Jewish or not? Because they look like Jews, they daven, but on Shabbos they're demonstrating with anarchists against Israel, against the United States. Are they Jewish? Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson joined us. He's a popular lecturer, educator. He's a former Chosef of Lubavitcher Rebbe, former editor of the Allgemeiner Journal. And Jake Turks is a senior White House correspondent for Ami Magazine, a political contributor for Newsmax. Thank you for joining us. So, good vach.
Thank you, Reb Zev. A good vach. Nice to be back on your show again.
Good to have you, both of you, back. So, let me begin with you, Rabbi. Thank you, too, Jake. I know Jake also.
I'm surrounded by my heroes. This is the greatest Matashavis of a very long time. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that. So, good to have a frank discussion, because I saw Rabbi Y.Y. Jacob, you pretty much were on record saying that the Naturi Carter, those anti-Zionist small fringe group, which small numbers. People keep asking me all Shabbos, how many are there? I said, maybe they're in the 100, maybe 1,000 or two around the world. Not a big number, but they make a lot of noise. But you, Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, briefly said, they're not Jews. So tell us exactly what you meant. What's it all about?
Yeah, listen, I'm not a prophet, and I'm not the son of a prophet. You know my father? He was a journalist, not a prophet. And I'm also not a prophet. I don't have Ruach HaKodesh, so I cannot say, I don't know about somebody's lineage. What I was trying to express was more than anything else, emotional and visceral pain that is just unfathomable for me that a Jew should do such things. It's hard for me. So I was asking an emotional question, you know, like it's hard for me. Something is off. Like I'm just thinking about a Jew, you know, marching with the Nazis, a Jew marching with Hitler, with Eichmann, with Mengele. Remember, these Hamasniks, if they would have it their way, they would do this mini Holocaust every single day of the year until 6.6 million Jews in Israel, God forbid, would lay lifeless. You're talking about people who would, their greatest Simchas Torah, their greatest glee in life would be to murder every single Jew. So no matter what a person's ideological perspectives about this element of Israel, that element of Israel, it's mind-staggering to me. And it shocks me, and it really pains me to the core that a Jew who puts on tefillin and considers himself a Jew should be able to march literally with the Nazis of our days who want to chop off the head of every single Jew and every single Jewish child. And that's what I was expressing.
No, I hear you.
Cause I cannot give a verdict, but I cannot give a verdict about somebody's blood or genealogy. I guess research could be done, but I don't have the authority to be able to.
I'm referring to Rabbi Jacobson, that we have an expression, Rahman b'nei Rahman, and we're compassionate people of compassion. If somebody is going ahead and kissing people who want to shoot, and not only want to, have shot and killed and maimed and tortured us.
So mutilate and burn. I'm not even going to discuss the New York Times recently reported, the New York Times, about some of the, violations of women that was done on October 7th after 3 months of New York Times investigating. Now, you don't understand, the New York Times does not exaggerate to the side of Israel.
Not at all.
It literally takes us back to 1648. I don't know if you ever read, there's a book called Yovan Mitzula by Reb Nosson Hanover. He witnessed the 1648 massacres by Bogdan Polanecki. 1648, 1649, where hundreds of thousands of Jews in Poland and Ukraine were not just massacred, but in the most barbaric and sadistic way. I felt like I read these books as a child constantly, but it was like a thing of the past. But this was literally a throwback to 1648 and 1649. It's unfathomable, unfathomable. And this is if it would happen to anybody, if it would happen to Hindus or Buddhists or Blacks or Chinese, and especially to children. There's this universal companion. So happening to your brothers and sisters, literally your family. And to be able to kiss on the cheek these types of people is just unfathomable to me. I just don't get it. How could you call yourself a Jew, and never mind a religious Jew, with the whole basis of Yiddishkeit is Avos Yisrael. Hillel was also a religious Jew, and Hillel said in Tractate Shabbos, page 31, that the basis of all of Judaism is loving and being kind to another human being. What you dislike to be done to you, that's the whole Torah. Everything else is commentary. If that's missing, and especially not just missing, but the exact opposite, to join forces with the most cruel, evil, sadistic, barbaric despots in human history, I can't wrap my brain around it. How can a Jew do such a thing?
So, Jake, listen, go ahead, Jake.
And I have to say, we have on the other extreme, too, Jews who are not dressed like the Notorious character, Jews who are outright secularists, who also support Hamas and call Gaza the greatest concentration camp created by Israel, and compare Hamas to the Warsaw ghetto Jews doing an uprising. I also heard this from Jews. Unfathomable to me as well. But at least they don't speak in the name of Torah. They speak in the name of far, far extreme leftist radical ideology, which is also sickening. And it's some sickness or trauma that some Jews have. But a Jew with a beard goes to the mikveh, puts on tefillin. What a disgrace to us. What a disgrace.
Go ahead, Jake. You were going to say something.
Sure. First of all, I just want to be very clear that there's some kind of a pace malfunction here as a result of the lighting. My pace are still low, like down till here, but sometimes it doesn't show up on the green screen. So to anybody watching, you don't have to get too nervous.
And you watch us on YouTube. We're on YouTube live as we're talking right now.
You're watching the live stream, right. First of all, it's quite fathomable. I mean, it's gullus for them too. We're all struggling to try to make sense of the Ikvas of the Mashiach. So, and some people have a different way of expressing it than we do. I'd like to quote a very chashuv individual, a Rav, Lubavitcher Chassid, actually. And I would like to get Rabbi Jacobson's take on this particular quote. He says, the Jewish people need to love each other. Love, love, love. We need to bring back that beautiful thing called Ahava. If you don't believe me, ask Hamas. And then he goes on to say how Hamas didn't differentiate between how religious a Jew was, what their levels of observance were. First of all, what are your thoughts about this quote? And would you say that this extends to Neturei Karta as well? The mitzvah to love them, to love people that might not always be easy to love.
I'll tell you, I think I said, I think in the talk that I gave that went viral, I think at the end I said that I can have compassion for them, but their views are lethal and poisonous because you're dealing about an issue of pikuach nefesh. In other words, I understand that people's traumas and people's indoctrination and brainwashing and sometimes are misguided brings them to have views that are very, very painful. But I have to say that certain views must not be tolerated because the price for those views is putting lives in danger. So I think we have to make a very, very clear distinction. Some views are simply dangerous. Supporting Stalin, which many Jews did. My parents and grandparents came from Soviet Russia. Millions of Jews supported Joseph Stalin. Lenin, Trotsky himself was Jewish. It turned into the greatest hell of modern history. So we have to be very, very careful because some views are just, they are so toxic. They're simply dangerous. And I think part of being allergic to evil and obsessed by good is to be able to make hamavdil, ben kodesh l'chol, to be able to make distinctions and say, this is a voice of destruction. This is a voice of poison. This is not a personal vendetta against any individual. I think this is very critical, especially in a time like today, when we speak about Avos Yisrael, when we speak about unity, but there must be based on an underlying common denominator that you and I care for Jewish life. We love our people. We love our nation. We may have arguments. We all have arguments, let's face it. We have many differences of opinion. I think when we cross a certain red line to be able to visit the mullahs, the ayatollahs in Iran, to be able to smile and take photographs with people who want to see, who promise that the whole Israel will be annihilated in one day, literally quoting Haman in the Megillah, and not in one day, with nuclear energy in 1 second. They would love to see 7 million Jews lay lifeless. So I think every fiber in our being needs to be outraged by those views. that are just horrific and poisonous.
Isn't there a pussy that those that hate God, you're supposed to hate? I can't remember the exact.
Oh, Yahweh Hashem.
No, that's it.
Ra, we say it every Friday night.
Is that a flagellatory card?
I think there's a point. There's a point. You know, the word hatred has become a very bad word in our vocabulary in the 21st century. And everybody who knows me, I'm sometimes guilty of that. You know, people say, "Oh, Rabbi, why love, 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 love."
Yeah. By the way, that quote that I said before was from you. You said that in that same drasha.
I'm honored.
About bringing back the beautiful thing called Ahava, which I don't think means loving people that we already love, right? That's not a chiddush. Loving people that we have a lot of common ground with, loving people that we daven in the same shul as, we eat by the same kedushim, I don't think that is the mitzvah, right? The mitzvah of kashrus is not when it's easy, it's when it's hard. The mitzvah of Shabbos is not when it's easy, it's when it's hard. Isn't the mitzvah of Ahava also dafka when it's hard? Aren't the people who we are the most inclined to hate the ones that we need to love the most or to work the hardest to try to love?
Yeah, so it's wonderful to say that the inner soul of Naturia Karta, they have, if they're Jewish and they have a Jewish soul and you want to love them.
Why would you say if they're Jewish? Forget the thousand or hundreds, however many there are. They have relatives. They're from relatives that are not doing what they're doing. And when someone is Moitzi Laz on whether they're Jewish, what does it say about all their relatives? I don't think this is a very pashut thing to just say speculatively, because we feel that their hashkafas are krum.
But let me ask this, Jake. Are they acting Jewish? One of the worst sins of being a Jew is attacking the land. We served the golden calf, and God forgave us. When Jews spoke badly about the land, they received the death sentence from God, correct? So that one of the worst sins you do is against Eretz Yisrael, against Israel. And here they're not only going against Israel, they're siding with people who have Jewish bloods on them. How could you kiss somebody? Can you imagine kissing Hitler and saying what a great person he is? And this
that's
is what
question.
By the way, you'd be surprised. There were Jews who supported Hitler, and there were two camps of Jews that supported Hitler. There were frum Jews who said, "Hey, listen, we're totally on board with you guys with the whole."
What about supporting Hitler in 1945? What about supporting Hitler in 1945?
What would you say? I don't know how many people were around to even like ask this
question. Exactly.
No. I get it. But here's a question. When you like, what is your impression?
I am shocked that you're not as outraged as I am. I'm quite shocked.
I'm outraged. I'm pained. But this is not. I'm not disagreeing. I'm turning to you, Rav Jacobson. If you could help me understand what my responsibility as a frum yid is with regards to loving someone who, quite frankly, let's just say I feel very triggered by, right?
You may be triggered by me, I may be triggered by you, we're triggered by our friends and neighbors, spouses and kids, and that's part of Avodas Hashem, to work through our middos. But this is not about being triggered, my dearest friend. It's not about being triggered because I'm traumatized or you're traumatized, or because we have big egos, or because we have small egos, or because we have too much confidence or too little confidence, or because I'm too selfish or I'm not selfish, and I got to work through my middos. That's the avoda of all of us every single day with our spouses and our children and our friends and our family and our neighbors and our partners and strangers. Yes, I'm with you. That's avoda Hashem, to work on our egos and to open ourselves up to diversity and to tolerate other people and to realize life is not about egotism; it's about oneness and connection.
And what did the Alter Rebbe say? And what did the Alter Rebbe say about loving someone who tried to kill him, who literally tried to kill him, not who was hugging someone who tried to kill him, who literally tried to kill him? What did he say about loving that person?
But not for so the Alter Rebbe and Tanya Perek Lamed Beis addresses this, and he speaks about two situations. It does. In Tanya, that's a very good question. There are people, the Alter Rebbe says, that it's a mitzvah to hate. And even then, he said, it's not so simple. You have to realize if it was, he gives all the conditions. Chofetz Chaim discusses it. We're not going to get it. And he says that even them, you have to know they have a neshama. And therefore, you could still hate the evil, but love the soul and have rachmanis on the fact that the soul is an exile. Right? And then the Alter Rebbe says, but v'loy Amar David Hamelech Alav Hashalom Taslas Sinas Nation Ella Laminim V'Aprikusim Shein Lam Chelik Balakei. So this is the Gemara Reish Perek to Zayin the Shabbos. The Rebbe says there are those Jews that are so dangerous that over there you have to be very careful when you speak about love. Now, to put somebody in that category, I'm not in that authority. But I want to say this. Even if I'm going to love a soul, and I know how much their souls are in exile, you have to realize that if that love can be translated by anybody as some form of hatred for views that are literally pikuach nefesh mamish, pikuach nefesh mamish, I become an accomplice of shvitas damim. So we have to be very, very, very careful and sensitive to make that absolute demarcation. Okay, that some people's views, the views are evil, evil, horrific, horrific. They represent the worst of humanity, that our entire nation was created to eradicate this from the world, this type of thinking, this type of evil.
Okay, see, Rabbi,
so that's my feeling. That's my feeling.
Well, Rabbi Cook, when Rabbi Amram Blau was, the founder of Neturei Karka, lived in Israel, and he demonstrated against, I think it was either when the state began or right before the state. I'm not sure when the story took place. And they were in prison. And Rabbi Cook went to try to take them out of prison. And Rabbi Amram Blau turned his back and all the Neturei Karka. Usul l'staklu lifnei rosh is forbidden to look at the face of an evil person. So they asked Rabbi Cook, like, why are you bothering, you know, to want to get him out? Then he said he has love for them. But that was before they got involved in embracing the enemy. Here's the problem, Jake.
It appeared that Amram Blau was a Jew who was a Yirei Shamayim.
Right, I don't think he would have demonstrated with Hamas.
I'll tell you, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, right? Lubavitcher and Rebbe Amram Blau had a lot of correspondence, even though, as you know, their views and relationships with secular Jews in Israel was quite different. The Rebbe would meet prime ministers, and the Rebbe would meet presidents. Shazar, the fifth president of Israel, would come to 770 very often at Sinai, because the Rebbe felt, even though Chabad history and Zionism is very complicated, but the Rebbe felt that influencing the leadership in Israel will directly result in enhancing the spiritual and physical lives of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. So there was a relationship because there was respect. There was respect. We love our people. We love our brothers. We love our sisters. We want them safe. We want them secure. Yes, there are arguments, there are debates, there are disputations, but there was an underlying loyalty for us, Hitler, the Iranian mullahs.
Can I be down the cusp for a second?
Go ahead.
I know this is not a very popular position to be taking, but I still I believe that we should at least try to have an open dialogue about this.
Yeah.
And Zev, thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it, and I'm honored that you're coming on. Absolutely. I love coming on. Here's my cosmos. First of all, you're talking about their shittas. I mean, maybe we should try. I don't know the shittas very well, but I think I have like maybe I'm a level one in understanding what the shittas are. But you mentioned that their views are dangerous, right? So I'm going to ask one question, then I'm going to make a statement, then I'm going to let you respond. First, my first question is, what do you think they were doing on October 7th? Do you believe that they were celebrating, or do you believe that they were devastated and crushed and saying, oh, if only the Yidden listened to us and left Eretz Yisrael, all of these things wouldn't have happened? Not that that's a realistic position, but do you really feel that they're happy when Yidden are getting killed, or are they very pained and that's what's driving them to double down on shittas that they've been born into, grandfathered into, that they can't really, they don't feel like they have the authority to say that my Zaydis were wrong and now we're going to change our view of the Torah. But that's one thing. The statement I want to make is talking about Ritzicha. Let's say, see, for someone living in Brooklyn or in Lakewood, it's a position that I understand and makes sense for them. But for someone like me, who I spend almost every week I'm in Washington, I cannot don't see a frumid outside when I'm davening, right? And I have to pass these people, the protesters, the pro-Palestinian protesters, not the Neturei Karka, they're not there every day. But I have to pass them on the way to the White House. And now let's say they look at me and they say, you know what, I would love to beat up this Jew, but on the off chance that maybe he's the Neturei Karka, I'm just going to leave him alone. I mean, doesn't it happen that frum Jews are in places where an Arab or a pro-Palestinian, whatever, would say, oh, I hate this guy, I want to beat him up. But because he feels this connection with the Neturei Karka, now he won't. So who really is to say that what they're doing? And is Hamas consulting with them? Would the October 7th attack look any different if Natura Carta wasn't doing what they're doing? So in what way are they contributing to Ritzicha? And I guess the second question is, could a case be made that maybe it's not completely evil what they're doing? Maybe there is some kind of a benefit to some people. And then the third question about, okay, you know what? Let's just stick with these two.
I have what to say. One, I'll let you respond, and we'll break. But go ahead, Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson.
Observe, go.
So let me just say this. First of all, I doubt that anybody who hates Jews looks, oh, that's Naturi Karta, Nick. Just the opposite. There have been cases of Naturi Karta that have been stoned. I had Chaim Zvi Freiman, who because of this broadcast was thrown out of Naturi Karta because he went against Rabbi Weiss. And by the way, I tried to get hold of Rabbi Yisrael Weiss, the head of Naturi Karta. Last time he said, I'm too Zionist to appear on the show. He actually called the show when it had Chaim Zvi Freiman, not to attack me, but to attack him, a renegade Naturi Karta, for appearing on the show. But here's the thing, though. They threw stones at Naturi Karta. And the problem is not that people say, there's a Naturi Karta, Nick, we're not going to beat up that Hasidic-looking Jew. The problem is that the Iranians, Hamas, can say, we don't hate Jews. We love Jews. Look at the Naturi Karta. We kiss them. We love them. They're on our side. And do they give support to those when people are quite, listen, most Americans don't know all the intricacies of what's happening. A professor we had on a couple of weeks ago did a report. When they say from the river to the sea, they don't know which river, which sea. Some of them even thought Yasser Arafat was the president of Israel. They have no knowledge of what's going on. So when they say Jews, and when you have these other Jews protesting, okay, they don't look, you know, this part. But you have Hollywood casting. You have Naturi Karta wearing, you know, the black coats and the hats and the payas, and they're wearing the Hamas keffiyeh. And they say, look, you know, maybe there's something to truth to what the Hamas is saying. Look at them. And by the way, Naturi Karta didn't come out and saying, we feel anguished by the killings of our brothers and sisters. They never said that. They kept saying, it's the Zionist fault. It's the Zionist fault. And we're against these Zionists. We're pro Hamas. We want ceasefire. That's all you hear from them. You don't hear anything saying anything about those that were killed. Where's the compassion for the 1,200 people massacred on Simchas Torah or the hundreds of Israeli soldiers killed since? You won't hear a word out of them. I haven't seen anything out of it, but I've heard other stuff, and there are other demonstrations where they've really giving aid and comfort to the enemies of the Jewish people.
There's, I don't know if there's anything to disagree with, Zev. I think we're all on the same page over here. I'm just trying to understand what is my responsibility as a Frum Yid who has this v'hatel reach kamoicha, and like how am I supposed to approach this?
Let's squeeze in one phone call before I get some more of your question. Let's go to Aryeh and Flappers. You have a question or comment? Go ahead, Aryeh.
Yes, I have a question. First of all, I think we're skipping a big step here, okay? You don't just judge people starting with their actions, okay? Because then you're biased by superficial things such as their lavush, okay? Now, the issue is I once heard, okay, that somebody told me that Naturi Karta emanates from Satva. Okay, so now you're going to make a big stink and say, oh, we can't judge Satmar. Well, listen, no, I'm not judging anybody.
The Satmar Rebbe was opposed to the Torah Rebbe Oli.
Let me go on, okay? I don't care what somebody says. They're opposed, they're not opposed. Listen, they have all everybody has their cheshbonis. The issue is Torah here, okay? Now, I'm going to defer to Yossi because he's the scholar here, okay? The Rambam says, I have a legitimate question. The Rambam says that... he says two things. He says the Beis HaMikdash, when Mashiach comes, is going to come from the sky. But he also says that Mashiach is a process, okay? These people, these Naturi Kartas, and a lot of Hasidim in general, they believe only in the first one, that Mashiach is going to come from the sky. It's not a process, okay? So the point of the matter is, Lubavitcher Rebbe didn't dwell on this issue. He just had an answer. He said, B'di'evit, everything God does, is meant to be. We have to move on and accept everything that God does.
What's your question?
My question is, their hatred is arising out of a false shita. I don't care if you inculcate a million Hasidim in the same thing.
Yeah.
My question
I think in the Jewish world we can debate shittas, and it's important to debate shittas, and it's legitimate. Bottom line is, you're talking about people who cross a certain border. there's certain red lines you cross. You know, like in a marriage, husbands and wives can have different opinions, but then there's a point of betrayal. When you invite somebody into the house to murder your wife or your husband, or you support the murderer of your children or your spouse, this is something that is simply unacceptable from any perspective, unless we lose humanity and civilization and mental right and the basis of everything. Like,
no, you're trying to determine whether they're Jewish. Okay?
I don't know. This wasn't a science. Forgive me, I apologize. This was not a scientific, genealogical, divine, prophetic statement. I don't profess such knowledge at all. It was my visceral expression of really being it unbelievable to me. That's it. That's all I'm saying. You know, Reb Jake said before that sometimes he may feel safer because of it. You know, it was painful for me to hear it also from you, Reb Jake. I'm sure you mean well, but then, you know, I have a better idea for some of us, you know.
No.
What if that was said hypothetically?
let's assume that was said hypothetically.
Even hypothetically, is this how we want to feel safe? I could put on a sign on my chest and say, I love Hamas, and then I'll be safe in every demonstration.
No, but look.
I'm going to sell my soul, my people, to the devils of evil. That's how I'm going to feel safe. Jews who said they have a great solution for anti-Semitism. You know what it was? You know what it was? We all convert to Christianity, or we all die, or we all assimilate. We're not Jewish anymore. Isn't that a great solution?
We tried that in Spain. It didn't work either. Listen.
So why don't we all support Hamas, and then we'll all have a good idea.
I think the caller made a very good point. I don't know if this is the point he was trying to make, but Neturei Karta believes that the big thing that's holding back the Geula is the fact that we are in Eretz Yisrael right now with a secular state. I'm not saying that I believe this. I'm just saying this is their belief. They believe that every day that the Israeli government is in power is another day that Mashiach is not coming. They want to bring Mashiach. They want Mashiach to come just as much as any of us. And if Hamas understood that deep down they're trying to hasten the Geula, then I don't think Hamas would be very impressed with that. Because ultimately, we all have the same goal.
Hamas knows that. Listen. Hamas knows that, by the way. There's a video which I put on my WhatsApp group from an imam, I think in Australia, a very popular one, who says, you know, there's a bunch of anti-Zionist Jews and, you know, they march with us. And he says, it's terrific. But you know, at the end of the day, that they want to have, they want the end of Islam because they want the Messiah. He said it very clearly. They know it. They're using that as pawns. They don't love the Neturei Karta.
Neturei Karta is using Hamas to try to get the base of Mikdash faster. I get it.
It's not getting
a fair. They all have their own agenda.
No. Can I say something?
They're slowing it down.
Let me finish my point. All I was saying is, if the point of view of the Neturei Karta arises out of a shita that's a Avodah Zarah, it means they're not Jewish. That's what I don't care how many Hasidim believe in that. If it's a Avodah Zarah, they're not Jewish. Simple as that.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, they may have Jewish parentage, but they're no longer. Listen, if somebody converts out of the faith, they're considered Jewish, but they're not really Jews if they're worshiping a different religion.
You're allowed to renounce your Judaism. You can renounce your Judaism.
How luckily you came. We had on the Sakmar Ger, who left Judaism a couple of weeks ago, and people sent me emails and they called the show and say he never was really Jewish. And, you know, his wedding, the blessings at the wedding were not valid. And I had on the rabbis, Rabbi Steinberg and Rabbi Olbaum, who said that they converted, he was Jewish. So from that point, from a biological point of view, he might be Jewish, but from a religious point of view, they're not Jewish. If they could be with our enemies and help them and aid them and support them, I don't see how they could be Jewish, even though they may have biological Jewish parents.
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.